Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to episode 536 of This Week in League.
You just said what number it was.
Huh?
Yeah, before the fucking clap, you dildo. Jesus fucking Christ. God. Oh my God. I'm not editing this. What the fuck is going on with this cunt tonight?
You fucking annoy me.
He's making all these alliances with fucking people and shit that...
You're like a Storm player in an Aldi Panthers jersey.
Did he get fucking... Are you like... What, like Manchurian Candidate? What the fucking, what was that program called?
you guys are great.
Did you get activated as an asset or something? Some sleeper or something? Glenn, what the fuck has gotten into you tonight?
This is fucking nerd talk. Fuck you, fucking Star Wars. That's Jay and I'm Glenn.
Fuck it, are you? Jesus.
There's not Glenn that I know ever knew.
I'll tell you, I'm going to start calling you Curious George.
All right. So, how are we going, fellas?
That's officially...
How you going, stepdad?
Based on recent behaviour, that's your new fucking name, Curious George.
Okay. I'm just going to call you the same name I always call you. Cunt.
MK Ultra, that was a program.
And cut your hair again. It's starting to grow and it's looking ridiculous now, so shave your fucking head. I gave you a rap for it and now you look like shit.
Jesus.
This has been going for 20 minutes, listeners.
Fucking hell.
And we actually hit record to try and get a respite from this fucking absolute beatdown that Glennie's been giving us this evening.
I know.
And he's thinking that potentially he'd behave.
This is actually a methodology that fucking goes closest to me. Some would say I bring this upon myself. This is exactly the same methodology my wife uses.
We thought the Glennie mask could get the Big Diesel. Happy fucking friend to everyone. Big Diesel mask could go back on when we started recording, but no.
Big Diesel has to deal with the fucking morons fucking taking pot shots at him. I fucking look forward to those guys actually having a crack at doing something in their fucking otherwise miserable existences other than sitting on their fucking couches, which are clearly covered in fucking plastic wrap, and fucking taking pot shots at me on the internet.
Now who are you
fucking
talking
pieces,
about?
All of them. Every last fucking one of them. Cunts, the lot of them.
Oh, Glennie's having a fucking psychotic break.
Not yet.
Have you seen, allegedly...
Is this because...
The sound cunt, the motherfucker with the beard, the cunt with the curly tail, all of them.
There's billboards going up all over Toowoomba with your pictures on them that says the Big Diesel votes in referendums like he wins grand finals. No.
Don't. There's certain things, certain lines you don't want to cross. You'll get an angry message in Messenger. Don't do it.
Why?
Don't cross the lines.
Tell him now.
The line can only be crossed one way. Can only cross one way, but you can't cross the line.
Well, are you talking about our borders?
Look,
is this a stop the boat segue?
Take it however you will. I just like to be on my best behaviour at all times. That's what I do.
Glennie, you are, as they say, on one.
Jesus.
How many drinks you had tonight?
Zero.
Fuck. So meetup's gone be lit.
I should have had more, because fuck, it'd make it you cunts easy to deal with.
You sound like you're having a psychotic break. Is this because the fedora
it's
got
because you're
re-elected?
A piece of shit, Nathan. That's why it is. That's the reason. And don't ever get me started on you, Jay.
Fucking, you're treating us the way Robbie Farah treats coaches at West Tigers.
Oh, fucking
Jesus.
Hell.
Maybe would you like us to give you beers after the show and to carry your bags and whatever fucking things they're going to implement at the West Tigers to make them not come last?
I'm sure you would give me beers because I don't drink beer, and that'd be the type of fucking stupidity. Did you hear about that? Yes. I also heard that fucking Lee Hagerblatless has been voted in for another 3 years.
I thought that's why you're in such a bad mood tonight.
Tigers. Whatever the Tigers do can't put me in a bad mood. It's interacting with you fuckheads.
Jeez. I felt like we were really...
It's not just you two. Oh. It's A, cunts in general, and B, you know, internet fuckheads taking pot shots. Fucking bring it on, cunts.
I feel like we were like really supportive during the Big Diesel phase of the season.
Yeah, well, it's over now.
And I just feel like that's being forgotten somewhat, unappreciated a lot. Well,
I showed my appreciation at the time. Like, what's it just?
short memory. Obviously, going to be short show tonight. Two games on, two games off to go. So. Without any further ado, let's talk about them. The first one just passed on Friday night. The Melbourne Storm 18 defeated the Sydney Roosters 13 down at the Korean Housewife, half-empty Korean Housewife, fucking small side, can't sell out the game. The Storm tries to Wishart, Seve and Warbrick, Meany, one conversion and two penalty goals. The Roosters 13 tries to Brandon Smith and Lindsay Collins, Sam Walker, two conversions, Sam Walker with a field goal.
Warbrick with the big moment to win it for the Storm. Sam Walker doing what Nate loves, kicking a late field goal, putting scoreboard pressure on, which amounted to fuck all. But
almost did the exact fucking same thing as last, exactly. Like the exact same results last week. Just the thing, back to what you said about Warbrick, though, I think it's very important to say that it was Warbrick with the big moment, because that kick was adequate is the best way you could describe it. It was fucking like it wasn't beautifully placed or anything like that. In fact, it was straight down fucking whoever it was throat over on that side. I mean, and the work Warbrick did to get himself there and rip it out and then finish it and score the try.
And he's had big moments this season, and I feel like he's been building to that. And I think that's an exclamation point on the great season that he's had. Which is, you know, obviously still continuing. Testament to the Storm system that he's come through. Obviously, the fact that he's it's obviously a fucking hell of an athlete on top of all that. So, I think the Roosters, we'd probably have to look at them and say they overachieved.
Because they were a play away from fucking winning this game too.
Yeah. Who would have picked that? I certainly didn't. I thought the Storm were going to fucking put him to the sword.
Well, look, after the first week performance of the Storm, and knowing the injuries they had and stuff like that, you know, the Roosters were definitely a better chance than you would have said, just like when there's eight sides left and the last round of football has been played, and you go, yeah, that Storm, you know, Storm fuck them up. But, you know, they definitely overachieved in terms of results.
Did they overachieve from where people said they would be, though? Because it seems to me that at the beginning,
like even from halfway through the season,
that's what I'm saying.
They were said to be the pre-season favourites to win the comp, but at no point in the comp did they actually ever assume that mantle and look likely at all. You know,
no, not at all.
I mean, they got to the final, the pre-season thing, and that's the best they did all season, and they were never in it during the regular season, and scraped into the finals, and you know, so then once they got into the finals, you know, they did well. Considering their lowly stature, I don't know what else to say about this game. Sorry, I interrupted you, Glennie, before.
I think that was pretty much my point. Was the moment for Warbrick, and the fact that the Storm, you know, steadied the ship a little bit, and the Roosters, you know, got and like you say, we're a play away from being a game away from the grand final, which I would not have picked. And you know, if you look a couple of months ago, they were you would have been fucking laughed at for saying they'd be in this position. So credit to them.
Harry Grant kind of redeemed himself somewhat. Had a terrible game in the first round of the finals. And was, you know, he was great. One of the Storm best, if not the best, like the catalyst for them in this game.
He was.
I wonder how much is that is. Sorry, Jay. Coming up against Brandon Smith, brought out the best in him.
That's going to be part of my next question. What's your take on Brandon Smith as an acquisition for the Roosters? Obviously, at the Storm, as part of a rotation with a fucking State of Origin hooker, he excelled. Can he be the buy that the Roosters thought he was over the next
I think in the finals he was. Like when it got down to those the pressure, like those sorts of those big games, he finally started, you know, doing the Brandon Smith thing that they probably wanted all season. But for the entire season though,
yeah,
barely sighted. I mean, he was out for like periods of time as well.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't think he sort of showed a glimpse of himself, and until the finals where he was good.
Yeah, I think the other thing is for the first time in any time I can remember, Melbourne have zero fucking defensive strategy for pace and lateral movement. The Broncos showed it to them in the first week when they absolutely fucking analed them. And any time the Roosters put on any sort of pace and move the ball quickly, Melbourne just looked completely out of sorts.
Yep.
Fair.
So that'll be something for Panthers to look at. Although that's not really a natural way that they play. But, yeah, look, you know, this game followed the exact script of the Sharks game, except for there was one extra play. But the main, I think one of the bigger things out of this game was, look, I've been critical of Ashley Klein for fucking 10 years. And now the general public's finally got on board and started giving death threats and stuff like he deserved. So, fuck me. That, like, the fact the Storm got that epic last second win with that play was great, and it was a big moment. I only got to that moment because he refused to fucking give a valid penalty, which would have given the Storm a fucking chip shot goal from about 5 metres to the left of the upright, you know, 20 metres out. And not to mention the other, like the knock on, was it Harry Grant who knocked it on in the
lead up?
And he was like literally right in front of the post, and Klein was standing sort of at one of the uprights looking like he was probably closer than any other player to it. He was that close. And I actually heard, did you hear the him actually apologising?
No.
On the, like, during the game?
Yeah. He was apologising.
I've got to call it as I see it.
Yeah. Oh, that's, that's quite refreshing to hear a fucking referee not wait for fucking Graham to say they were wrong. To apologise on their behalf.
I was going through the stats for this game to, you know, pick something out to talk about for the review. You know those times where there's a person that has like the world's most fucking unimportant job, but does it like they're fucking Oppenheimer? Like just every fucking part of them goes into that job, and you might say they do it too well or they're too technical at it. Whoever's recording the stats for the NRL, well, whoever's recording the dummy passes for the NRL had the Roosters throwing 7 dummies in that game. And that, you know, fucking loves a dummy. The Melbourne Storm, according to the game stats, threw 69 dummies.
Yeah, and so, I bet you if fucking Cameron Munster threw all 69. That's his only fucking move.
I would wager that there has not been firm guidelines set down on what is and is not a dummy pass.
I just think it's just.
I don't understand why that needs to be a stat.
Neither do I. It's like
it just highlights that every team that plays Melbourne Storm, if you're not fucking dropping your shoulder into Cameron Munster every fucking time he catches the ball.
Well, my theory is
you're being negligent because I mean, all he's going to do is dummy. That's it. You got to put him down.
My theory is that there is a fucking Klein brother that is even more of a fucking frittata than Ashley, like has even more additional chromosomes, and they needed a job in rugby league for him. And so they've given him the job of counting fucking dummy passes and made it an important official stat. So now it appears in all games.
And I believe that Ashley Klein is like an assistant to the bunker or something this week. He hasn't control of neither of the games. So this should be an end to his stranglehold of big matches, finally, and well overdue.
Yeah, good.
Anything else on that one, fellas?
What, just on that note, what happened to Grant Atkins? Did he have, like, did he piss someone off? Did he, like, say the wrong thing? Because he was up and coming, and he's been great.
No, he's had some. This is the thing; they've all had fucking issues. They've all had issues, and that's the problem, because no one's. You can't point to any of them and just go, "Wow, that guy kills it every time." And like you can't put, like, all of them this year, particularly. You can point to specific things where you're going, "That was fucking terrible." So yeah, regrettably, because you know, with all the technology we have these days, it should make their job easier. But makes it easier for us to highlight the mistakes. But I mean, that same technology to highlight some mistakes can be used to relay the correct decision.
Yeah, fair. It's not within, fucking
within
hard.
Within 2 seconds.
Yep, pull it back, Ash. Pull it back. There was a knock on there. Yep. Oh, no worries. I've had advice from the bunker. There was a knock on.
Yep, that simple. And I mean, yeah, you know, you got two touchies there. Should also be seeing that shit as well. But you know,
well, like there is something that still rings fucking stupid to me about saying, well, hang on, we have two touch judges that are standing a fucking fair distance away.
Yeah, when I can zoom in on 4K from the bunker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, robots can drop fucking hand grenades on Russians in Ukrainian trenches.
Yeah.
Surely they'll see a bobble in the fucking ruck, but... yeah, who knows.
All right. So then look at that, one game down, one to go. The Warriors, 40, defeat the Knights, 10, over in Mount Smart in NZ. The Warriors, 40, tries to Nickel Klukstad, Adam Fanua-Blake, Montoya, Dylan Walker, Rocco Berry, DWZ, and Bailey Sirinen. 6 of 7 conversions to Adam Pompey. The Knights, 10, tries to Marzu and Dylan Lucas. Callum Ponga, 1 conversion from 2 attempts.
Impressive from the Warriors. Noise. Yeah,
the atmosphere in this fucking crowd. Thing. Holy shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was fucking amazing.
But, pumped up on fucking juice of a fucking amazing bounce back performance when they had some fucking troops back on deck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they showed that they can actually, they do belong there. They got rid of, you know, they saw to an end to the bottom four sides in the finals, which is the way, you know, it theoretically should be.
Yep.
Which was, you know, ended, I mean, the Knights in terms of a streak and, you know, they were like the hottest side, you know, form-wise in the left in the competition at this stage, at least on just on results. But, and they fucking handled them so easily. Yeah. There was really no chance. There was no chance for the Knights to even get into the game. I mean, they blasted them so quickly, and so fucking easily. Like, some of the easiest tries you ever see around the start of that game to build the lead, and then the Knights could never come back. I mean, they handled Callum Ponga so well, and cut him off from any time and space to do anything. I mean, it gives me, you know, it gives they'd have some confidence that they could do a similar job to Reece Walsh, really.
Yeah.
And if they can do the same thing to Reece Walsh, then who the fuck knows what happens this week coming up? But man, like, you can't really highlight like a bad player on their side. Like, Fanua-Blake again was like fucking monstrous. Dylan Walker was great through the whole game, and I mean, since Dez turned him into like an interchange sort of forward,
yeah.
I mean, it's added, you know, I don't know how many years it's added to his career, and you know. And it's like, and this Warriors side are using him perfectly.
Yep.
They managed to flick the switch on Greg Marzu and turn him back into Titans Marzu.
Yep.
He was pretty disappointing. The big points for me, obviously Johnson's performance was outstanding. Just the way they started, which immediately brought that crowd into the game, which just created a fucking tidal wave.
Yep.
And there was legit, as good as the Warriors were, just that whole combination of the start, the crowd, and then, you know, obviously the Warriors playing up-tempo, high energy, you know, like you say, full of, you know, just completely pumped up. There's just nothing the Knights could do. It just sucked the life out of the Knights early on, and they never had a hope in hell of clawing it back. And as the game wore on and it was getting towards the end, that crowd was formidable. Like, yep. just the way the just noise forget about and the atmosphere.
From the moment of fucking kickoff.
Yeah, true, true.
Jesus Christ. It's one of those games where, and you see this with the top tier teams, and it's one of the things that the better teams do more consistently over a long period of time. There's a consistency of energy across the team, and it ebbs and flows at the same rate across the whole fucking side. That they're that in sync that they can get out. Because if they'd have gone out and tried that fucking blitzkrieg when the game started, but 70% of the players up the effort enough, it doesn't work.
Mm.
80% doesn't work. The fact that they had that effort right across the park, then as you can temper down into the grind of the game and just the slight back and forth, cool, we're just going to gear off a little bit here. They all did it together. And then when it's time, okay, we've got some opportunity here, or we can feel that they're fatiguing, we need to ramp up that energy again, they all went together. It was a fucking sensational 80-minute performance from the Warriors.
Yeah.
And you know, credit, you know, I know we joke about giving the Knights credit, but that streak was impressive. I think it gives them a lot to build on next year and beyond. And
Well, let me ask you, how often is there a coach who's in the fucking newspapers every week, that his head's on the chopping block, like people that we know, that know people in and around the club, you know, told us multiple times, oh, yep, nah, he's gone. This and that happened, and this, and they're interviewing this person, and what they want this guy in, and whatever it is. But to go from that, and that because of underachievement or because of performance, to one game from the grand final qualifier. It doesn't happen.
With the spine of Ponga, who's, you know, obviously had his issues with injury. Hastings, same, is in the same boat. Fucking Gamble.
Phoenix Crossland.
And Crossland. Like, yeah. I don't hate Willie Mason's comments. Like, I don't actually think he's wrong. I know Tyson Gamble took offense to
him. Because what he said was, you know, without Ponga, no one's thinking about that spine at all. And he's fucking, he was 100% correct. But, he got people fucking fired up, though, because Tyson Gamble come back at him, and well, I can't remember, what did he say?
He can get fucked. He was a middle. He's not a half. He doesn't, you know, he can get fucked.
And then once the game was gone, then Willie gets back on the tweet machine and he's like, yeah, Tyson Gamble, you're looking for a hole and all that sort of thing. So, but I think that like the replacements, you know, with like Tamari Martin, think about where he was like last year with the Broncos when he was, and like everyone was amazed that he was even fucking playing again.
Well, he was the Broncos' best player when he came back last year.
comes over to the Warriors, and then, you know, wasn't playing, you know, in first grade a great deal because Metcalf kind of cemented his position there. Then he's out and he came in and he was amazing.
Yeah. No, he really was. And, you know, just the way that side's structured and, you know, again, you have to sing the praises of Webster for, you know, getting the players, you know, mentally right for such a contest. But the way he prepares the side, the way it's structured and the type of game that they play, which is perfectly suited to their strengths, it's really impressive.
These Warriors have done what the fucking West Tigers have been trying to do for fucking near on 6 or 7 years.
Tigers.
Well, no. They've executed your fucking game plan perfectly. They've done you. So let's go through this side here. Dallin Watene-Zalesniak, Tamari Martin, Wade Egan. And their coach Andrew Webster. What do all those things have in common?
You forgot Bailey Sirinen.
Panthers rejects. Panthers rejects. They've taken them and made the fucking finals. You guys have had all of them. You just picked the wrong ones.
I think your statement's probably more valid about the Bulldogs than the Tigers.
That's fair.
To be honest.
And all the Panthers, most of the Panthers rejects come from the Tigers back to the Panthers.
Brent Naden.
Yeah.
James Tamau.
Yeah, he completely fucking washed it.
Who's that fucking
More washed than one of those Easter Island fucking statues they carved after his fucking likeness.
Who's that fucking Mitch Kenny wannabe you got at 9? He's not playing finals.
Wow. Fucking hell.
Fucking.
Mate, I don't know why you're making it. Why he's making it about the West Tigers, Glenny.
You would.
The Warriors did a great fucking job.
I don't understand why, when you had to think of a podcast host that was cooked, you had to come up with Joe Rogan. When there's fucking this motherfucker sitting right in front of you.
Fucking call me Jay. Call me Jay Rogan. Glenny, bring that up.
I'm sick of doing this show. I'm fucking so sick of doing this show.
It's nearly
I'm
over, Glenny.
I'm retiring.
It's nearly again. Over. We're nearly there, mate.
Oh, really? There's got to be a limit to the amount of this bullshit we can fucking take. Surely.
I know, right?
Fucking hell.
Hey, let's talk about news stories. Good job, Warriors. Now, did you see the interview with Ben Hunt, where he was as we know, like let's just recap for those who know the saga of Ben Hunt. He was trying to get a release, you know, from the final 2 years of his contract with the Dragons, so he could return to an unspecified club in Queensland. The Dragons denied it. They thought that, you know, Shane Flanagan's coming in, he can convince him to stay, and it's a new coach and everything, and maybe that'll change everything. But in an interview, Ben Hunt declared that the Red V is, quote, honestly, not my first choice. And he thinks that the Gold Coast Titans probably don't have the money, but he would like to go to any team in Queensland as an option. And he said that during the contract drama, he said retiring from rugby league has definitely come to mind amid the Dragons' desire to hold on to him. He says he would prefer to come back to Queensland, but he hasn't ruled out retiring to get out of the Dragons. he goes on to say that he's got good footy left in him, so it's not an option and stuff like that. And he's like, I'm going to the Dragons for the preseason. I'm committed for this season. I'll be captain if they want me to be. But I mean, like, come on, like, really? I mean, the only other club other than the Dragons that would probably make him captain after all this carry on is probably the Tigers. Like that's they'd make him run a five
exactly
Tigers.
Exactly what you hacked on captains. This fuckhead for doing.
No, on this occasion, though, I think it's valid. That's what I'm saying.
No, I'll take your point. I'll agree with it.
Like, maybe not the captain, but one of five.
Seven. One of seven captains.
One of seven captains. Maybe nine. Maybe top nine captains.
Top nine. Captain number nine. Can I speak to captain number nine? Are we challenging? I don't know. I have to consult with these other eight cunts. Fucking hell. Imagine being a Dragons fan. Like, as if your life isn't bad enough.
Yeah.
Like, just your general life choices, and when you look in the mirror and you clearly can't be impressed with what's looking back at you. And then you've got this fucking godforsaken football team in a competition that includes the West Tigers. You know, you've got the Dragons that are an absolute laughing stock, and even their own players admit to not wanting to be there. You know, I wouldn't want to be there either. Have you seen the Dragons fans? Absolute cunts, without exception. So they deserve every last bit of it. I hope he stays there. I hope he plays like shit. Or alternatively, I hope he leaves and fucking kills it and wins a Dally M somewhere else. And it's both options are fine by me, and it's exactly what the Dragons deserve. Well, not only the Dragons, but all of their fans, without exception.
All right. Now, we spoke earlier about your mate Lee, the Fedora, being re-elected.
Yeah.
Do you have some thoughts about it?
Well, I just
do you think
feel
he's
like
a problem himself?
Look,
do you think
I just
it's just
feel
because
like
he's
there
been
wasn't
presiding
enough,
over 2 spoons?
There wasn't enough information around the no vote. And he just, you know, not enough people went in and voted fuck no to that cunt getting in again.
Fucking Glenny and his automatic vote no stance.
unanimous too. Unanimous support of the board.
Yeah,
Benny Elias said raised the point saying that, you know, he's a you know, Bryden Lawyers being the major sponsor, and then this is the bloke, you know, like it's a bit, it is a conflict, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Like a massive conflict, and like, and we talk about the major sponsorship in the rugby league side. You don't want to potentially agitate and see that money walk off the front of your jersey, especially when you've won, come off the back of two spoons in a row, and you're not exactly the most fucking marketable.
It really does. Again, the amount of fucking times I've said this, it goes to the utter lack of professionalism in the structure of the clubs.
Yeah.
The fact that we have a professional sporting code where there are umpteen different entity structures, there are umpteen different fucking ownership structures. You have some owners that are leagues, clubs, and gambling license holders, and then you have others that own the fucking only media in Australia that shows the game. Like the absolute shit country that goes on at all levels of ownership of clubs is fucking bullshit. Really, the more I think about it, how fucking great would it have been if they'd have gone, oh, look, COVID's happened, the whole world's fucked, we're going to take 6 months off and explode everything and come back with all of this bullshit fixed. And then all of a sudden, hey, we've got, you know, whatever it is, 17 licenses. Cunts, come and buy them. You ever wanted to own a sports team? Come and buy them. Professionalize the shit out of everything. Oh, hang on. And this asks that question of how did this happen in the beginning? Oh, we'd love to be your major sponsor. Oh, hey, can our boss fucking run to be your chairman, please? We promise we'll never ever use the fact that we are your major sponsor as leverage so we won't get voted back in, you know, essentially making what should be a democratic process essentially useless. You know, we promise we'll never do that. Just take our word for it. We're lawyers. You know,
you can trust us.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Look, good news though for you. Good news for you, Glennie. That with the West Tigers extending Jareem Buller to a 4-year extension. He was on at the start of the season. He was unknown and on a development contract worth $60,000, and he's managed to parlay that into a $2.7 million 4-year deal.
And is allegedly the best fullback to be named after a hot water heater. Well done.
It's the most random shit. You couldn't go in with Bulla ice cream, fucking.
I get that fucking installer ream song in my head every time someone says his name. It comes on steady, hot and strong.
Well, I mean, that's what Glennie's been saying all fucking year. Every West Tigers recap. I mean, he wants to install Jareem.
In his anus.
Right where, right where his compatible socket is.
Fucking plumber's tape up there.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Well, yeah. Buller would have to wrap some of that fucking tape. He'd have to wrap probably a couple of rolls of tape around there. Just to get a tight fit.
Hey, hang on a sec. Wow.
I don't know, some fucking, you know, just...
Well, there's been a few cameras up there, but that's about it. I don't know if we'd have loosened it up too much. Look.
Do plumbers still use fucking Selly's No More Gaps? Maybe we need to get sponsored by them.
Fix the hemorrhoids. No, quality. Look, the Tigers don't get much right. They got that one right. I like it.
How about you happy with the dollars?
Oh, I think they have to. Otherwise, you know, he's probably off to.
That's not too bad, was it? Like $650 or something. That's all right. Yeah.
Otherwise, in 6 months' time, he'd be off to Penrith to replace Dylan Edwards, and we'd end up with that fucking scrub because we get all the Panthers rejects, apparently. So.
Yeah, but he'd probably be. I mean, if we're being real, he'd probably be off to the Roosters, right? Because Teddy's getting a bit on.
Yeah, I know.
Take the next. Why are you going to bring?
I was trying to be a smart ass. You got to bring actual facts and logic into it.
Oh, that's. I thought that's what we're doing here.
So
since when?
So Glennie, essentially, what does that give you? 3 more trade windows to give him a reason to stay.
Yeah, I don't know that we're going to be able to do that. We'll probably win the spoon again next year. And, you know, the trifecta. Is there an 18th team coming in next year?
The thing is, Vellani's moved so quickly on these things, so maybe not next year, but maybe the year after.
Yeah, that's exactly
I reckon there's a great chance for the year after. But, yeah.
It might be the Tigers in plateau next year and then decline the year after.
You know, their differential might suffer or the number of wins or something. True. I mean, there's always ways we can get in there and tweak the formula, make the hashtag true, massage the figures. You know how it goes.
But he's been, you know, one of the very few shining lights of the season for the Tigers. And a full off season with the top squad, I think it'll do him well and come back bigger and better next year. And I think that's actually reasonable money, especially if he does come and have a big year again next year. I'm sure his agent will then be agitating for an upgrade or whatever, but I don't mind the money that they've done. Like I say, they don't get much right. They got that one right.
Yep.
Nice.
All right. I don't have any other news I want to talk about, so we can move on to the teams.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone agrees? Oh, you got any socials you want to do there, Stepdad? For the roundup after the round?
I was just going to say, did you see the Cowboys? They've gone through a mass cull.
Yeah, it's all. I mean, it's all guys like that are pretty much outside the 17, with the exception of
Hiku
is probably one of the only ones. I think most of them are very fringe and Queensland Cup sort of thing. So, which is what you want to be doing. I mean, you want to get rid of those guys and try and get better guys in. Especially you had guys there too, like Brendan Elliott and Hiku and that, and like they're pretty old.
I tell you, we're having a break from how we usually do our socials roundup. And now I throw a lot of shit at fucking alleged journalists.
Right.
But this is some next level shit. Right.
Okay.
So there is a guy that claims to be a journalist. He works for Channel 9. He's called The Mole.
Oh, yes.
So, if you remember a little while ago, he had a sponsorship thing with sports, one of the fucking bookies, where he was giving out, like, multis.
Okay.
And someone's tracked them, and, like, none of them ever won.
Right.
Which, funnily enough, I saw something else on Insta today about a guy that tracks, this is on the AFL, they must do, same as in league, before the game.
Yeah,
the personality from whatever gambling company sponsors it gets
like the Joel, like the Joel Kane sort of
Joel Kane does the thing. He goes, oh, here's a good offer, and they get give like these four leggers or five leggers, and they just mapped out which how much of it wins. If you put $20 a week on it over the course of the season, by the end of the season they were down like $700.
Yep.
And the funniest bit was one of the last ones they did for the year. One of the players they put in there wasn't playing; he was injured. So, anyway, so this guy thinks he's a journalist. He put a tweet out. He said, "Warning, peeps. There are some former NRL players selling gear on eBay and social media. Just be careful. All I can say right now." And then people are just like, "What the fuck's wrong with you? Like, what? You know, they might have fallen on hard times."
Yeah.
So
he was implying it was like, he wasn't implying it was like. Players selling stereos they stole from Twin Waters or whatever.
Well,
or speakers.
See, that's a thing, right? Then he goes, after a bunch of people asked him, "Do I have to connect the dots? Some ex-players are selling goods that do not exist. Hashtag, geez." When his fucking original tweet in no way implied... That's what it's not like he said, "Be careful. Some players are selling things on the internet that might never turn up at your house." Or, some players
like
are selling
literal
things.
eBay frauds taking place. So just watch your purchases.
The fact that this fucking redacted level
he's trying
of
to turn it into like
the
this,
English language.
He's trying to turn it into this big intriguing thing to drive engagement. People asking him, "Oh, what? Who? What? What's going on?"
And they're fucking, you know, the whole internet did what the internet does and just fucking dragged him and just went, you know, yeah, no, that's not what you said. Geez, you're vague. So hashtag geez went fucking nuts today. Now, back onto our socials. Dino, he said, the talking point this week is how cool these are, with a photo of his Twill Nation footy. That is fucking right. Glennie, are we going to have some of those at grand final weekend to throw out to whoever?
Yeah, you come get some.
We'll take a couple down, and by a couple, yep. I mean a couple, because fucking yeah. carry on. Surely, over.
Just take the mini ones. So take yeah, the mini ones. Yeah. So that way you take it. Hey, also everyone go to thisweekinleague.com and buy them because they are running low. And last time I put it at the end of the episode, so people, you know, some people might just switch off when we start going into the whole wrap up routine. So
couple
while we're still talking
at
right
the,
now,
at the meetup, I might fucking torp one straight into the back of Jimmy's head. Just
why
to make sure
that?
He's paying attention.
Jesus. Fuck.
Oh, he's paying attention. Jimmy's always watching Eye in the Sky.
Yeah.
He really is.
Well, he has to.
Les Trade, he said, yeah, I kind of want to bandwagon the Warriors. That up the Waz crap is really making it hard, though. Oh, mate. I get you. JSJ Hogan said, Newcastle's credit has finally run out. Terry, we've already covered this, he said, you know, was Willie right? There you go. Simon pointed out, the Warriors are the only finals team not to have sucked on the wooden spoon.
Hmm.
That means absolutely fucking nothing.
Yeah. It's a curiosity rather than a statistic that has anything to do with anything.
Yeah, that's it.
But, you know, good, I guess. Congratulations.
Daniel, he said, I work in the MI in the Hunter Valley. I just found out the apprentice I've been working with is from Toowoomba and a Broncos fan. Oof. I've just recommended that he be sacked.
Brilliant.
Oh, fucking hell. Oh, there was the news article about, you know, how the NRL is going to keep Vegas fucking locked down.
Yeah, I mean, good fucking luck.
Good luck with that. I hope it all works out for you.
It's
could you imagine, though, like, you're going to have, like, rappers and fucking, you know, US athletes there making it rain. Fuck if a couple of NRL guys trying to get in amongst that.
Mate, I'll tell you, this might be the time that comes in handy. This is what I'm saying. Like American sports people are very often, in any situation they're in, they are both the most famous person, but also the wealthiest person.
Mm.
So in any social setting or, you know, any club they're in or whatever, they are the most famous and also the wealthiest. It's with Australian sports people, they're generally might be the most famous, but they're not anywhere near the wealthiest in that fucking room. Put them over in the States and they're not even close to famous. No. They are legit just fucking punters with a nice-sized wad of spending money. So hopefully that keeps them out of any limelight.
I'm more worried about the Broncos fans and the Souths fans that have been stuck down the same end of the stadium.
Yes.
And so this time instead of their usual, you know, back and forth about, you know, about paying Adam Reynolds or, you know, not re-signing Adam Reynolds and who won the trade and all that sort of shit, now they can actually wander down the strip to Walmart and get strapped first and then fucking shoot it out.
That's fucking great.
So, I mean, which is a net good for the NRL, really, and just the general fandom.
Fuck yes. Stuart, 2 weeks ago we thought the premiers would come from the top four teams. Now we know it. We just gave the likes of Newcastle and Warriors a chance to put on big home crowds and the broadcasters to get some ratings while they figured it out. Ryan, I reckon Glennie can look forward to seeing Ashley Klein refereeing the Toowoomba C-grade touch footy comp next season after Friday night's performance. Oh, God.
He'd fit right in, some of the fucking clangers.
Jared, Penrith versus Warriors grand final, please. I can live with that. Bethany believes that Storm versus Warriors grand final is what the fans want. Fans of BDSM, maybe. or, you know, the weird ones that like sticking safety pins in their dicks. So
I feel like on one side of the draw, people definitely want the Warriors over the Broncos. And I feel on the other side of the draw, I feel like the Storm provides an easier avenue for the Warriors to win overall.
Unfortunately, the Storm are playing Penrith.
Yeah, but no, but that's not me. People are saying what they're wishing for. They're not saying what's going to happen.
Yeah. Ryan, for some reason I had it in my head that Architects was doing the grand final performance rather than a Tina Turner cover band. Now, this is the nice segue. Have we spoken about the fucking entertainment for the grand final?
I feel like we must have. I feel like we did.
Or was that
in
a member side, did we? Okay.
Oh, I mean, it might have been maybe it was in the members one. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, then that's a fucking useless segue then. On to the previews.
Okay. I mean, you could have just rebuilt it.
We've already spoken about it. Fuck that shit.
Okay, cool. Okay, so we come up to the last round of the preliminary finals. First one's Panthers versus Storm Friday night from Acor Stadium, which at this stage is doling out the 2-for-1 tickets because it ain't selling. And furthermore, I saw on Twitter, I saw some NFT project today dropping 2 tickets to this game to every holder as well. So they're doing everything to try and fill this fucker up. The Panther side, big blow without Tyrone Peachy. Zach Hosking also out. In turn comes in some fucking plotters in Isaac Tungo and Jerome Luai. Luke Garner drops to the bench. Cogger goes back to the bench. And the Storms. Bronson Garlick is out. Jerome Hughes comes in. Tyrone Wishart moves back to the bench. Nelson Asofa-Solomona moves to the bench. Harry Grant goes to hooker. Christian Welch to the front row. Who's going?
$4.75 for the Storm in a grand final qualifier.
Oof. Yeah. But, you know, they don't do it to lose money.
That's fair. I said it much earlier in the season, but this game is potentially the one that exposes it more than any other. The purple plotters. There's a few. There's a few in that back line which could potentially be found out. Couple more in the forward pack, which is even more alarming. So, obviously experience, the halves and Harry Grant are key for Melbourne, but I don't know. I don't know as much that Melbourne can do. Expect Penrith to win reasonably easily.
I feel that Bellamy can very easily give these guys a plan to get out there and do a job. But this year, more than others previously, he does not have the fucking players to execute.
Yeah.
Whatever cunning plan he has to expose Panthers. That's I think that's a simple matter of it. Guys like Olam is pretty fucking washed. I mean, he's like, remember when Seve and Tonga Mapea were like, the Storm fans was like, oh my fucking God, I can't, we can't carry these fucking, we can't wait till fucking Olam and whoever comes back.
Now
they're actually the better options in that back line. But then when you've got Remus Smith and, Warbrick's great and Nick Meaney's been great for them all year, but he's not Pappenhausen prime.
No. Melbourne can do, when you said there's not a lot that Melbourne can do, there is. They still have the capacity to go in and just technically grind you down. Like, Jerome Hughes is Cooper Cronk-like in his ability to just set after, or end of set after end of set after end of set, make the right strategic decision, put his chasers in good position to give them time to get to the ball, and make the opposition start sets where Melbourne want them to. So they can do that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that they can do that as well as play almost flawless, mistake-free football on the other end. And that was the 1-2 punch that Melbourne always got you with. They wouldn't make mistakes and give you any sort of opportunity, and they would absolutely deny you of anything that you hadn't fucking worked your guts out for. So the Panthers, I think, just have too many gears for them. Should get them easily.
Yeah, I think they should win easily. I mean, like the Storm, whatever plan they have, I just don't think they have the the deep base of quality players to execute whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
And that's a difference. Okay, moving on then. The Broncos take on the Warriors at Suncorp Stadium. Broncos squad unchanged from last time we saw them. The Warriors unchanged from last weekend.
I'm excited to see, and you alluded to it earlier, the Warriors did an exceptional job of keeping Ponga at bay last week, and similar style of player at the back for Brisbane. If the Warriors can, you know, execute a similar game plan to keep Walsh out of the game, that's a massive blow for Brisbane. Because so much, he's been in such form that it's all happening whenever he touches the ball, whether he's just creating via his speed and footwork or just the extra time because he gives the defense that oh shit moment as soon as he touches the ball, so they're on the back foot and he's got that extra split second of time to create for other players. So I think that is a big key to the game as to whether the Warriors can do that, which gives them a strong chance of winning. I think this is going to be a very entertaining game. They match up quite well, through the forwards. The battle between Carrigan and Tohu Harris as well is also key. Payne Haas is a massive
important. Blake
is a huge, you know, him being at his best is has to be huge for Brisbane, and for Noah Blake, in contrast for the Warriors. So, I don't know. Two old halves, two old sevens going head to head is a good story.
Unless Reynolds gets injured in the first 10 minutes.
Look, I do like the Warriors as a story, but I have to tip the Broncos for Jackson.
Warriors in front of their home fans.
Which may throw my entire fucking weekend into fucking disarray, but anyway.
Yeah, I remember when you were doing that last time in 2015 and the net result of that was you spewing for fucking 11 minutes straight later that night. The game.
So, that's really stuck in your memory, eh?
Look,
like I do remember that whole meetup, that whole weekend vividly. It was exceptional, but.
It's like any scientific fucking like marvel, if you saw a 10-foot man, you'd be like, holy fuck, I can't believe it. You'd never forget you saw it.
Glennie, how are you surprised that somebody spewing for 11 minutes is not etched in someone's memory?
How?
Well, the 11 minutes is
Team America.
You know how big a stomach is. So you know. So you therefore know how much liquid it can theoretically hold as a maximum. And then when you're hearing it getting spewed into a toilet, so you're hearing the impact on water.
Yeah.
You can hear it. It's still going. You can hear it hasn't stopped going, and so it's still going and it's going. It's going. Anyway, then 10 minutes later, you're like, how the fuck could there be anything still like to come out and splash that water? Like,
well, you're right. So there's a fixed volume. The only way you can extend the time that flows for is by upping the pressure. So essentially, Glenn spews like a gurney, is what you say.
Yeah, but it was almost like he was like, you know, plugged in, like a human centipede, like you say, he was plugged into like other stomachs, so he could spew like eight people's worth.
Cuttlefish and asparagus, Glennie.
Still not.
Or vanilla paste.
Look, stop the Warriors. There's a couple of facts about this game. I mean, the Warriors, they lift in front of their home fans. The second fact is the Warriors are playing in front of a massive home crowd.
They are.
This game as well. They sold this fucking game out. All the Broncos fans in quotes. I'm doing. It's an audio thing, but in quotes, they're all going to watch the fucking Lions that night. This is a New Zealand crowd, and in front of their crowd, they're going to fucking lift. They're going to shut down Reece Walsh, and they're only going to shock the world because I fucking think they're going to win easily. The Broncos are done. Warriors going through.
Okay, I can hear the sound of a bridge made exclusively of scaffold beginning construction from Christchurch across to Botany Bay just to get the, you know, the half dozen or so Kiwis that are left over there that don't already, haven't already come to Australia. You know, safe passage
for the grand final.
For the grand final.
Right. I agree. It's going to happen. Book it. And the Brisbane and the Bron- and the Brisbane fans, they won't even know because they'll be more worried about what's happening at fucking at the Gabba.
That's what's a fact. Gabba?
What's the, you are a fucking ignoramus.
What's a Gabba? What's a Gabba? It's like a kid show and it had people with like dressed up in like monster suits and shit. And there was this black dude called DJ Lance.
Oh, I love that you pick up what I'm putting down. Anyway.
Yeah.
Preview's done. How good's finals time?
Yeah. New Zealand Panthers grand final. It's happening.
Oh, fuck yeah. Battle of the coaches. Battle of the ex-players.
Yep.
Battle of guys. That's why the Warriors are doing so well. All those fucking ex-Panthers understand how close they came to going to the Tigers.
Or the Bulldogs. Both of those work.
It's like that. You've had a situation like where somebody nearly fucking kills you on the road, and for the next like 20 minutes, you're like a fucking super vigilant driver. That's these cunts all the fucking time. You imagine the cold sweats they wake up with? Jesus. You get fucking sleep paralysis. It's Benji at the end of their bed.
Fucking sit there with your fucking reverse mohawk. Having a fucking crack at the Tigers every chance you get, as if they haven't suffered enough.
Do you want to talk people through a reverse mohawk?
Well, it doesn't grow in the middle.
Okay, so it's like so back to that Keefe fucking prodigy.
Yeah.
Situation, right? I'm not seeing it. I'm just not.
Are you fucking kidding? You need to put your glasses on.
I'm sorry, Glady.
No need to apologise. I'm happy to fucking be on the island. It's fine.
Can you just clean your glasses? Or maybe the camera when you fucking just give us a fucking smudgy?
Huh? And give you a smudgy if you don't shave your head before I fucking see you next
Speaking week. Of smudgy-smudgies, you two will be giving yourselves and anyone who wants one a bit of a fucking smudgy grand final weekend.
And I'd fucking wait to smudgy all you wonderful people.
On Sunday, whatever the fucking date of the grand final is, starting at midday at
the Bar Cleveland.
Surrey Hills, Redfern, depending if you want to, like, you know, postcode prejudice yourself and where you're located.
I'm going to get there early. Sydney. I'm going to get there at about 5 a.m.
Right. To what end?
I'm going to get Jimmy to open up, lock the door behind me, obviously.
I mean, there's a liquor license to preserve.
Well, that's fair. I won't be needing any liquor at that stage, but I will be needing a pool cue and unlimited dollar coins to put into the pool table. I've got a bit of practice, got some brushing up to do because certain cunts have dined out from fucking 12 months now on fucking beating me at pool. And I might just steal Leo's Switch and get a bit of Mario Kart action. A little bit more practice in.
So why are you saying that now, a week out, when you've had 12 months?
No, I've been training for 12 months. It's the final tapering.
Right, gotcha. It's warm up. It's the on-field warm-up is what you're saying.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
I gotcha.
And look, Nathan, you've seen firsthand the quality of my on-field warm-ups.
Oh, fucking have I what?
Majestic, some would say.
Just the tunnel run itself, that fucking left foot step after the tunnel was just, I got all the video footage here, I'm trying to put something together for the patrons, and like just that step is like,
Was it a left foot step or was there just a large divot?
Oh no, my
left foot turns in quite, you know, it's almost like I've got fucking,
I'd liken it to Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, except I'd never seen that guy do anything fucking anywhere near this fucking like transformative or like elusive. Fast, too. The speed of it.
deceptive for a husky gentleman.
Well, it was, yeah, I mean, it was deceptive because it made me think you were, like, much faster because I never saw that any other stage all day. But just the tunnel, that Jeez, step,
here
that
I was
thinking
step. You'd give me a rap. Just fucking smash me right at the end.
Hey, look, don't take anything away from that one step. It was fucking something truly magical. I'll never forget.
I peaked early. I peaked
Glenny, massive left foot step, can spew for 11 minutes straight. They're the things I'll take to my grave, you know.
Also, quite belligerent.
Yeah. Very, very abusive on fucking instant messages too, just quietly. Now, in Brisbane, had a response to thank you to the people who responded and allowed me to cobble together a vague estimate for numbers. By all means, if you're coming to Brisbane, do let me know so I can adjust the booking upwards if I need to, because I mean it's fairly generous at the moment, but you never know. I mean, if we get a massive influx, the venue has been set. It's going to be on the Sunday grand final day, starting at 2 p.m. at Wing House at Bowen Hills, which is in the Brisbane exhibition precinct, across the road from the Ridges Hotel. There, close to the train station. There's a parking garage literally next door, and fuck tons of TVs and screens for sporting events. So it'll be good.
Nice.
Be there.
Fuck yes. Can't wait.
Anything else, fellas?
No, I've had enough of your shit, Nathan.
Jesus Christ. I thought you'd come around, Glenny.
It was a very
angry start of the show from you tonight, Glenny. It wasn't until I started talking about Dream Bullet fucking you in the ass. Calm down.
I mean, who wouldn't pep up after that?
On that note,
let's go.
Talk to you, fellas. Hey, are we going to have to do a member side of one of these ones? Which one's it going to be?
The pressure of
stepdad's game?
That's a future us problem.
All right, done.
Okay. Right,
on that note, talk to you then.
See ya.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.